Public News Service Daily Newscast for Friday, March the 15th, 2019. I'm Mike Clifford. President Donald Trump expected to exercise his veto power over his border wall. Also on our Friday rundown, we'll take you to the first state likely to ban foam food containers. Plus, despite tax cuts, the outlook is bleak for steam and coal in West Virginia. First, here's our top story. The U.S. Senate voted Thursday to block President Trump's declaration of a national emergency intended to allow funding of a border wall. Yahoo News reports a dozen GOP senators voted against the White House. The final margin was 59 to 41 among the Republican senators voting for the resolution. And against Trump were Susan Collins of Maine, Lisa Murkowski of Alaska, Roy Blunt of Missouri, and Lamar Alexander of Tennessee. Shortly after the vote, Trump tweeted a single word, veto. He added, "I look forward to vetoing the just-passed Democrat-inspired resolution, which would open borders while increasing crime, drugs, and trafficking in our country." Maryland could soon become the first state to ban styrofoam food containers and cups. More from Tramell Gomes.
A bill passed this week by the House of Delegates prohibits restaurants, supermarkets, vending trucks, movie theaters, and schools from providing polystyrene food containers. Even egg cartons would have to be made of alternative materials. The Senate approved its version of the ban a week ago, and violators who insist on using foam plates and trays would face a $250 fine. Cities like Baltimore have already banned them, but Adam Lindquist, who runs the Baltimore Waterfront Partnership's Healthy Harbor Initiative, says it still wasn't enough.
We know the styrofoam containers that end up in the Baltimore Harbor, they don't just come from the city. Our streams flow across political boundaries, and so foam can come from all over the place. So really, a statewide ban will have a much bigger impact.
Opponents like the Maryland Retailers Association claim the cost of using alternative packaging is too great, adding that consumers would spend almost $35 million more each year to replace the banned products. House and Senate negotiators are expected to hammer out differences in the bills before final approval.
And raising the minimum wage will help all Pennsylvanians. That's the message economists and social scientists are sending to state lawmakers.
Governor Tom Wolf has called for raising the state minimum wage to $12 an hour immediately, increasing to $15 an hour by 2025. A letter to the General Assembly signed by almost 40 experts points to a wealth of academic research showing there are few, if any, negative consequences of raising the minimum wage in stages. And according to Mark Price, labor economist with the Keystone Research Center, there would be positive impacts beyond more income for the lowest paid workers.
It'll mean that they can spend more money, and that'll filter out into the economy and help boost the local economy. So it's something that is both good for workers, but also good for the larger economy.
He says by 2025, a $15 minimum wage would result in $6.5 billion in higher wages for 2 million low-wage Pennsylvania workers. I'm Andrea Sears reporting.
On the campaign trail, in his first State of the State address, Governor Mike DeWine promised to invest in services to help Ohio's most vulnerable children. And his budget, to be presented today to state lawmakers, is expected to do just that. Mary Sherman has our report.
DeWine wants to almost double the funding for services that protect neglected and abused children, which would mean an additional $74 million a year. Angela Saucer with the Public Children's Services Association of Ohio says it's an unprecedented investment.
We've been saying for several years now what a crisis our system is in, and to have the governor come out with the proposed investment to provide additional state support was absolutely amazing.
Saucer explains the opioid crisis has strained the child welfare system. There are at least 15,500 children in out-of-home care, more than a 25% increase since 2013. The largest chunk of money, $30 million additional dollars, would help counties pay for foster care placements, recruit foster families, and increase numbers of caseworkers.
The Pennsylvania biennium budget must be approved by lawmakers and signed by the governor by this summer, June the 30th. And finally, Dan Hyman reports that the West Virginia legislature passed a 40% cut in thermal coal severance taxes, that despite Revenue Department predictions, it would do little to change the steam and coal industry's steady decline.
The long-term outlook is no better, says Kerry King at the University of Texas's Energy Institute. King says thermal coal used to generate electricity has a lot stacked against it. Natural gas is likely to stay cheap and renewables will continue to drop in price, while demand for electricity is flat. King says most coal plants are old and the cost of a new plant is too big to risk.
Big means over a few billion dollars, and when you don't have electricity demand increasing, it is hard to commit to large electricity generation projects, but much easier to commit to smaller projects like natural gas, wind, and solar, and in addition, they're cheaper anyways.
The coal industry argues that lower taxes and less environmental regulation would prompt a boom in mining jobs.
The legislation to cut thermal coal severance taxes is now on the governor's desk. I'm Mike Clifford. Thanks for wrapping up your week, Newsin' and Cruisin' with Public News Service. We are member and listener supported, and we're online at publicnewsservice.org.